The $15 minimum wage campaign that started in SeaTac came to Seattle. Other people are looking at it, too. It's been this groundbreaking movement. Some say a national model. Some say it's Seattle taking progressiveness too far. And this big fight for 15 has gotten some bad publicity today in the form of a new University of Washington study. The researchers found that going to an $11 minimum wage didn't change that much, but then Seattle took it up to $13 an hour.
When Seattle increased its minimum wage to $13 an hour, we are finding evidence that there was a reduction in hours worked by low-wage employees, and the reduction in hours worked by low-wage employees was sufficiently great that it offset the increase in their hourly wages.
That is University of Washington public policy professor Mark Long, one of the study's co-authors. And his findings are giving fodder to some critics who argue that Seattle workers would have been better off overall if the minimum wage had not been raised so high. I talked about this with Ben Castleman. He's chief economics writer for the website 538. He's looked at this study, talked with economists about it. He finds some good news for workers, but also plenty to be concerned about.
You absolutely have winners and losers. If you were a worker who held on to your job and kept your previous hours, then obviously the big boost to the minimum wage probably brought you more money, and that's absolutely the case for a substantial number of workers, especially workers with a little bit more experience. They're in demand right now, and they've seen a benefit. But if you're somebody who's just entering the job market, that requirement that you pay $13 and now $15 an hour seems to have led some employers to decide not to fill that job or to employ people fewer hours. And so we saw those sort of net out in a way that ends up being negative for workers on average.
Ben, from what I remember of my college economics class, isn't this economics 101?
Well, this is tricky because, of course, if you just sort of think back to your basic economics, then if we're going to raise the cost of hiring somebody, we're going to expect to see companies employ fewer people. But we have really not seen the minimum wage work that way historically. There have been decades of research into the minimum wage, and of course, it's complicated and they don't all agree with each other, but sort of the big picture of it has tended to be that modest increases to the minimum wage really don't hurt employment, that companies find other ways of adapting. But we're sort of running an experiment in this country right now where we're pushing minimum wages to previously unprecedented levels, to $10 and $12 and $15 an hour, and we really don't know what the effect of that will be. And this is one of the first studies to really try to get at that question.
And Seattle is not even paying everyone $15 an hour yet as a minimum wage. Are you saying the Seattle fight for 15 has failed in some way?
Well, look, I think that there are some very important caveats here. This is one study. It has not yet been subjected to peer review, although it's certainly been looked at by a number of economists. There are already some critiques being raised about some of the methodological details. So we definitely can't jump too far to any conclusions with this one study. But it is troubling to think that this policy, which was obviously designed to help workers, could conceivably be hurting them. And, from a national perspective, if Seattle, which is obviously a very high-cost city, if it's struggling with a $15 minimum wage, then that does call into question what the effects could be if it starts to spread to other places where cost of living isn't as high.
As you said, Ben, it's just one study. In fact, there was another study out last week from the University of California at Berkeley that I'm sure you know about. It said that the minimum wage has not led to restaurant jobs being cut. How do these two studies work together?
Yeah, look, I think it's a fascinating example of how economic research works, right? You have different studies looking at things in a slightly different way and finding somewhat different conclusions. I do think it's important to recognize that study out of Berkeley did look exclusively at restaurants. And what's interesting is this new University of Washington study also looked at restaurants and found no effect on jobs there. So the studies are actually consistent in that sense. They both find no impact on restaurants. But the University of Washington study finds that there are substantial impacts in other industries, in low-wage work overall. And, maybe by focusing so much on restaurants and fast food, we've been missing some of the impacts of the minimum wage in other sectors.
What's different about restaurants?
I think we don't fully know. It is certainly the case that in a place like Seattle where the economy is doing well, it may be easier for restaurants to pass on some of those costs to their customers. Whereas if you're a company that's selling nationally, you may have a harder time passing on those costs, and so you may be forced more to have that have an impact on your workers.
You've said, Ben, that in a way we're experimenting with this higher minimum wage up toward 15. A study like this, if it's borne out, how much of a problem is this for the nationwide fight for 15?
You know, I do think it's very important here to recognize again that this is one study. There's going to have to be both scrutiny of this study and efforts to study how the minimum wage is playing out in other cities and in other sectors. So I hope that both sides are sort of able to look at this as an effort to get to a serious answer. And there should be research that goes on. There should be, you know, more questions that are asked. Nobody should take this as the final word. But, you know, we do have this opportunity now, and I think an obligation to study the effects of these policies as they roll out. Because if it is not working, and that's still an if, but if it is not working, then the people who get hurt by this are low-wage workers, are vulnerable people who we're trying to help. And certainly, you know, folks who support the $15 minimum wage movement do so because they want to help workers. If the evidence is that it's not helping them, you know, I hope that's something that they will take into account.
Well, then if, as we're saying, this is a big if a higher minimum wage toward $15 is not helping low-wage workers, what else could society do if we want to help those with the least? And maybe minimum wage is not the only answer.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that anybody who works in this area would say that you need a suite of policies to try to help people. The earned income tax credit is something that gets pointed to by many economists as a pretty effective policy that gives effectively gives money directly to people who are working and not earning very much money. There have been proposals for even more significant changes to the system so that we give money directly to impoverished people through something sort of known as a universal basic income. And then, of course, there are long-range policies about education, about workforce development to try to make sure that people have the skills they need to succeed in a difficult environment. There's no question that whatever this research and any other research shows about the minimum wage alone was never the solution. And, you know, we need to keep exploring policies that can make a difference.
Ben Castleman is the chief economics writer for the website 538. He wrote an analysis of the University of Washington study. That study finds that a higher minimum wage may be harmful to low-wage workers overall in Seattle. We have tweeted out a link to that study on Twitter at KUOW. Now, let's get some reaction to that study from a champion of the fight for a $15 minimum wage, Seattle City Council member Shama Sawan. Good to talk with you again.
Thank you for having me.
As you just heard, this University of Washington study finds that the higher wages that workers do get with the new minimum wage law is more than offset by employers cutting back on hours. What do you say to that?
Well, as you said already, Bill, this is not the definitive study, and it has a lot of problems, and I'll mention one of those in a second, but I just wanted to make sure your listeners are well aware that there's a very good study that has come out from the Berkeley labor economists, including Michael Reich, who was talking directly on Skype to the city council this morning, who shows that their study shows that the wage increases that have already been phased in have actually increased pay for workers, meaning it, in other words, improved the standards of living of workers without causing any negative consequences for jobs. And one of the problems with the UW study
Let me pause you there, Council Member, because we talked about that with Ben Castleman a moment ago. Our listeners heard us say that the Berkeley study found that was a good effect in restaurants, but that restaurants are different from other kinds of jobs. What do you say?
Well, if you look at where many of the low-wage jobs, you know, the workers who have directly benefited from the $15 minimum wage as it's being phased in, are in the service sector, in labor-intensive sector, and restaurant industries are, you know, central to that. I mean, the restaurant industry and labor service sector in general have labor costs that have a third of their operating costs. So it does make sense to look at those sectors. And Furthermore, one of the big problems with the UDAP study is that they have excluded what they call multi-site businesses, meaning, you know, any kind of chain restaurant or chain store. But the problem with removing, with excluding these multi-site businesses is that you end up removing 48% of the workers who were paid less than $15 an hour. So you're not it's a study that actually does not look at a big chunk of the data that they should be looking at.
If peer-reviewed studies, and you and I and Ben Castleman a moment ago have said many times it's just one study with some people calling it out for having problems. If peer-reviewed studies were to continue to show an overall effect of losses in jobs and hours that more than made up for the wage gain, if that happened, would you conclude that a $15 minimum wage is too high or just not enough?
Well, look, the only criterion to decide whether a wage is too high or not is a direct question of standard of living. Are you actually able to pay your rent, satisfy all the basic needs of your family, of your children, if you're caring for elderly relatives? Are you able to do that in a sustainable manner? And who in any honest frame of mind could claim that $15 an hour, which hasn't been phased in fully yet, at full-time work would be about... if you're working 40 hours a week for 52 weeks a year, roughly comes out to $30,000 before taxes. Is anybody honest enough to say that that is a lavish wage to fulfill all your needs? And so if that's the criterion, you know, what do you need in order to survive, then absolutely $15 an hour is necessary, but it's not enough. And if you're talking about too much, you know, if you're talking about too high a wage that is bad for society, then let's talk about the wages of CEOs, the overpaid executives who are taking away the lion's share of wealth that is generated by hundreds of thousands of workers going to work every single day. That's what we have to talk about.
One more question on minimum wage, Councilmember Shama Sawant. If employers are cutting hours in Seattle, again, we underline the if, I mean, Seattle being a very booming city, wouldn't you expect the effect to be more dramatic if $15 were minimum wage statewide, including in places that don't have the Seattle boom going on?
Well, in reality, you know, we have already looked at meta studies, meaning studies of studies, and these meta studies have looked at 1,500 different cases of minimum wage increases across time and across geography, and there is absolutely not a single piece of statistical evidence to show that when minimum wages go up, something negative happens in the economy. But I think we have to go to a larger question. The question is, will big business, will this capitalist economy find other ways of striking back at workers who build movements and fight for, even some modest gains, modest reforms of $15 an hour? I have no question in my mind as a socialist that, that big business, the big business executives, the bosses will find other ways of undercutting workers. So really the answer to this question that you're asking is not that we shouldn't fight for 15. We should absolutely fight for 15 everywhere and federally as well, as Bernie Sanders has been saying, but not stop there, but ask deeper fundamental questions about how this economy functions. I mean, just today, the Guardian newspaper is reporting that the central banks of the world are predicting possibilities of a new financial crash because of another round of risky bank lending. I mean, in reality, our standards of living are extremely precarious as working people. The vast majority of people in the world have precarious standards of living, not because we fought for minimum wage increases, but because that is the nature of the capitalist economy. So we need to keep fighting for 15 like we're doing in Minneapolis right now, and 15 now is winning in Minneapolis with a socialist candidate for city council, Ginger Jensen, leading the way. We have to keep that fight on, but we also have to go deeper than that and really address the problems of capitalism itself.